Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first song this morning will be number 838. 838. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. Thank you.
Let us go to God in prayer. Our kind, gracious, heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father, and first and foremost, just thanking you for who you are. God, thanking you for getting us up this morning, Father, in our right mind, to be able to come, to be able to fellowship, and to be able to sing praises unto your name, to hear a portion of your word, Father. We just want to thank you. Father, we want to thank you for being the head of our life, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you just so much. We want to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, we just want to just want to take this time to thank you, God. God, at this time, we also want to ask, Lord, forgive us of our sins, Father, both known and unknown, Father, as we walk through this life, God, and we do our very best as Christians, Father, but we will fall. As the Bible said, Father, we thank you so much for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father, at this time, we ask that you would bless those that were mentioned that were sick today, Father, that we know that you are able, Father, to bring them to their health, Father, if it be thy will. Father, we ask at this time that you will bless this nation, Father, that you will bless this world, Father, that we know that trouble don't last always, Father, but we know that you have a plan, Father, and we just ask that you give us the strength and the guidance and the understanding to accept your will, whatever that is, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask at this time that you will also bless the remainder of this service, Father. We ask that you bless the leaders of this congregation, Father, that they continue to do the things that you have them to do, Father, to keep us safe, to keep us able to be able to assemble and hear a portion of your word. Father, we ask that you will bless Brother Skippy this morning, Father, as he brings the message, Father, that you give him a ready recollection of those things that you would have him to say, Father. And if there's any that are in our assembly today, Father, that is seeking you, Father, that these words will bring them closer to you. Father, we ask again, Father, that you just keep us and guide us, Father, that we keep our eyes focused squarely on you, Lord, knowing that everything that we do, Father, we don't do alone. That there's nothing that we can do without you. That without you, we are nothing. And that we must remember that, Father, that always, that we keep ourselves focused squarely on you, Father, and on your word. Father, we ask all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Further prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 300, 300.
When I survey the
John chapter 10, 14 through 18, we can read of Jesus talking about a freely given sacrifice. That he was not only just dying for a particular group of people, but he was dying for each and every one of us. You know, even people that had not been born yet. Because this was the will of our Heavenly Father, and this was part of that great plan of salvation. And also you can read in chapter 18, Jesus made it very clear that no man took his life, because man did not have the power to do so without him willingly giving his life. And he did that because he had so much love for each and every one of us. So let us all be mindful of that as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper this morning. We have before us the bread, which represents his body, and we also have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together, gather around the Lord's table. So thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for we know that it was your love and the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that gave each and every one of us a chance at eternal salvation. We're so thankful to thy Son, Jesus, for being willing to endure that, endure the punishment, endure all the pain, Heavenly Father. We know that he could have at any time saved his life, but he chose not to do so. And he ultimately gave his life on that cross, becoming that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take of this bread which represents his body, that we'll do so in a way and manner that will be pleasing in thy sight, and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, if everyone is through with the bread, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father in heaven, we indeed thankful unto you for the fruit of the vine which we have before us, so fitting to represent that precious blood that was shed by Jesus Christ on the cross. As we partake of it, may each one of us let our minds reflect back to the cross, meditating upon that blood that was shed at that time for the remission of sin. May we always do it in a way that will be in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen. Amen.
The song of invitation this morning will be number 925. 925, let's mark that. 925. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 84. 84.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sand, the thorns that o'er the path are spread. God holds the future in his hand. God holds the future in his hand. And every heart he understands. On him depend, he is a friend. But he holds
on
him depend. He is your friend. He holds the future in his hand.
This morning's sermon title is Hope in a Bad Situation. That is hope in a bad situation. The scripture reading is Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. That is Psalms chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a chill for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. And I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Now, Brother Norman.
Good morning. Truly, God has been good to us this morning. I just love that song that we just concluded. God holds the future in his hands. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what today holds. But we know who holds today. We know who holds the future. And our job is to just trust in Almighty God. And it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you in helping us to understand that you hold the future in your hands. Lord, we just ask you as we're about to go into your word that we just focus upon your word and things that it has to say. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of or that we need to make correction. Help us to do so, Heavenly Father, before it's everlastingly too late. Guide me in your word, the thing that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look at Psalms 3, in Psalms 3, as we look at how hope in a bad situation, Psalms 3 is the first Psalms that has the inscription of the author on it. It is called a lament psalms. It is a cry of despair from a man of God that is facing some adverse circumstances. It is a lament from a man who finds himself in a hopeless situation. The first thing that we notice about David's situation is hopeless adversity. Look at verse 1. In verse number 1, he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. In verse 1, when you look at it, it literally reads in the Hebrew, how many are my foes? And I bring this out because we need to understand the meaning of the Hebrew word translated foe. The Hebrew word, it refers to something that is narrow or confining. It means to bind up or to tie. It is used in some instances to describe a strong emotional feeling experienced by one who is pressed externally by enemies or internally by wrong decisions or passions. It is described the personal anguish one encounters by adverse circumstances, such as death. And so David, when you look at this, for David, the word describes a distress or anguish that comes from enemies who are crowding him in a narrow place. Well, what makes this distress? What makes this anguish even greater is that those that are his foes are his foes because they have staged a revolt against him. Now notice what he says in the second half of verse 1. He says, many are they who rise up against me. Repeatedly, he uses the word many to describe those who are revolting against him. David was God's man, but he fell in his walk with God. And therefore, the things that are taking place in his life at that time of the Psalms is the consequences of that failure. And so David wakes up after having to flee Jerusalem, and he begins to pen a prayer to God expressing the hopeless and adversity that he was facing. But not only was the situation one of seemingly hopeless adversity, but it was also one of hopeless abandonment. Look at verse 2. In verse number 2, he says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Now, repeatedly, he uses the word many again to describe those who are revolting against him. He says, now watch this, many are they who say of me, there is no hope in God. Those who staged this revolt were saying this about David. In their mind, David had done things that forfeited his right to expect the help from Almighty God and to expect him to answer his prayers. The word help can also mean salvation or deliverance. The tense of the words says, and it suggests that this saying was continuous. In other words, David heard over and over that God was not going to help him. He heard over and over again that God would not save him, that God would not deliver him. They were saying basically that because of David's failure, God had abandoned him. There was no reason for David to think that he would experience divine favor. But then, look at this word, Selah. When you look at this word, it means to pause. It means to reflect. In other words, David is saying, think about what was just said. Have you ever felt like the adversity that you were facing was hopeless? Have you ever felt like God had abandoned you? Maybe because of moral failure, or just because your circumstances seems so dark. Hopeless adversity, hopeless abandonment has a way of zapping the joy out of your life. It has a way of draining life of all joy. In Proverbs 13 and verse 12, he says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. when you find yourself in what seems to be impossible, what seems to be a hopeless situation, when you have reached your end, I suggest to you this morning, don't let your outlook be determined by what you are down under. Listen to me. Let your outlook be developed by your uplook. Look up to Jesus. And what you need is to have an upward outlook when you are down under. And we seldom do this. So many times we let our circumstances dictate our sight instead of correctly seeing our situation. We let our situation determine what we see. And if our situation is gloomy, and it may be, we allow that to show us gloom. But you cannot let your situation dictate what you see. David was in a situation. David was in a desperation, but he seemed to have caught a glimpse of his deliverance. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." Notice what he says. And in verse 4, he said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hills." Selah. David makes a strong contrast with what he just said in verse 1 and verse 2 and what he's about to say in verse 3 and verse 4. Yes, the situation is one of hopeless adversity. Yes, the situation seems like one of hopeless abandonment. But David does not let his outlook be determined by the hopelessness he sees in the natural. No, he looks up to his God and he lets the hope that is found in him determine his outlook. And so this morning, David looks up. And David is hopeful. And as David looks up, I just want to share with you three things he declares about his hope. Number one, he declares the hope of God's protection. He declares the hope of God's protection. He says again in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." When we think of a shield, we usually think of something that protects us and defends us. It is something that we can put in front of us so that we can protect and defend ourselves from the enemy. But watch this. The idea is this. David has in mind here, for shield is the type that brings not only one-sided protection, but all-side protection. Y'all see that? Because the Message Bible translated this way. "But you, O God, shields me on all sides." Not just one side, but all sides. This protection is from above. It's from beneath.
It's from around. It's from without. And it's from within. What a shield God is for his people. He protects his servants. He protects his people. He protects all that put their trust in him and walk in him. And David knows that God has the ability to thwart any enemy that comes, that attacks. He knows that God can shield him from every evil intention of his foes. He knows that God can protect him from his own weakness, his inability, and his incapability. Some of us merely need to be protected from ourselves, from our own uncontrollable tendencies to try and handle things on our own. Do what we think is needed. Do what we feel like doing and expect God to support us. We got to learn how to trust in Almighty God, because God is a shield on all sides. He can protect us from outward attacks, and he can protect us from inward attacks, from every diabolical scheme that the enemy has planned, and then also from our own insufficiency to bring resolve to the situations in our lives. So number one, he declares the hope of God's protection. Number two, he declares the hope of God's personal touch. He declared the hope of God's personal touch. He says here that he knows God will be the one who lifts my head. Hopeless situations can breed discouragement, can breed disappointment and depression. But David did not let the situation determine his outlook, because he knew the hope of God's comfort and God's personal touch. He knew that God was the one who lifts my head. He knew that God could deliver a man from all that discouragement, all of disappointments, and all of the depressions. God is the one who lifts my head. He is the comforter of his people. And notice that is not the situation that David is concerned with God touching. But David knows that he who needs God's personal touch. I need God. And I'm here to tell you, you need God this morning. You need God's personal touch this morning. And that's good for us to recognize, because many times God wants us to use our circumstances to move us toward him and not away from him. And so to receive him from the touch of his hand on our outlook, not just on a situation. When we're in a crisis, when we're in a dilemma, we often want God to touch the situation, believing that if he changed the circumstances, then we could and would automatically be better. But David knew the real issue was not the status of the situation. Listen to me. It was not the status of the situation, but the status of his own life. Now notice carefully. David says, "You are the lifter of my head." And I think that we can see from that where the root of our desperation is sometimes. It's in our head. It's in our thinking. Well, let me ask you. Can your God do anything? Let me ask you again. Can your God do anything? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there any situation that you can present to him where it causes him to become incapable and unable to guide you through it? The answer ought to be no. There is nothing too hard for my God that he cannot handle. And so, do you know what that means? What that means is there's absolutely no hopeless situation for the child of God. No family situation, no health situation, no financial situation, no job situation, no emotional situation, no national situation. There is no hopeless situation for those who put their faith and trust in Almighty God. But there's only hopeless thinking. David cried out for what we also need many times. I need God to lift my thoughts. When you're down under a situation, burdened beneath the load of care, the easy thing, the natural thing, is to look downward. Look down on that situation. And I found it to be true that downward thinking comes all too easy. Disappointment, discouragement seem to be way too easy to become a part of our lives. The natural tendency is downward thinking that brings discouragement, that brings depression. But David calls out in a hopeless declaration that God was the lifter of my head. God is the one who can give me a transforming personal touch that may not always change my situation, but can and is for the purpose of changing our outlook of the situation. And that's what we need, an upward outlook when we're down under. And so, number one, he declares the hope of God's protection. Number two, he declares the hope of God's personal touch. But then finally, he declares the hope of God's perception. He declares the hope of God's perception. Look at verse 4. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The word cried is past tense, which shows that it's something that has happened. He's writing about it after the fact. And David says, I remember when I cried to the Lord, lifting my voice to him, that he heard me. I was in the wilderness, fleeing for my life. God was in the place of his holiness. But he both perceived and received my desperate plea. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 said, God's ear is not dull that he cannot hear. If there's one thing that I've come to learn this morning, is that God has good ears. He has good ears. And you need to understand what I mean this morning about God's perception. We know that he hears our prayer. But the Lord hears much more than that. God hears groans, and not only hear them, but interpret them. When we don't know what to say and how to say it, he can interpret what you're talking about, because the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. Romans chapter 8, you read that. And you'll see, in fact, there are times that the Bible says that the Spirit even prays on our behalf with groaning, which cannot be uttered. The Bible says that God can hear so good that he will sometime help us even before we finish asking. That's a God I'm talking about. How can he do that? That's a good question. Because he knows. He knows our situations. He doesn't need us to pray so he can perceive our trouble. He knew the trouble was coming before it came. That's the God that we serve. God doesn't perceive our problems through our prayers, because the purpose of your prayer is not for his perception. Prayer is for your participation in your deliverance. Prayer is what employs him to action, because he is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Y'all know what that means? It tells us he knows, he's able, and he's there. That's what those three words tell us. When you're feeling like you're down, under the weight and the pressure of life circumstances, you need to know these three things. He knows. He's able, and he's there. He will protect you. He'll give you a personal touch, and you can be assured that he perceives your problems. And knowing those truths this morning will help you to have hope in a bad situation. If you're here this morning, maybe you're going through a bad situation. Maybe you just feel like, man, it's just everything is just crushing in on me. I just feel like giving up. There is hope in your bad situation. And that hope is God. You got to trust God. Even though when the situation doesn't seem to be going the way you want it to go, trust God. The same God that brought you through yesterday, the same God that brought you through in your past, is the same God that can bring you through today. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you are experiencing. He knows the time that you are crying in your midnight hour. He knows that, and he says, I'm there to comfort you. Even in your midnight hour. Even when nobody else is around, I'm there. Because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you're here this morning, you're in a situation, but you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Without the Lord, you can't make it. You need the Lord this morning. You need the Lord to help you in your situation. Well, how? How can I get the Lord? God done it a long time ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his son to die on Calvary's cross. Jesus gave his life so that you and I can have some hope. You and I can have some help through our situations. You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then you got to live faithfully. Live faithfully unto death. Yes, you're going to be going through some things. There are going to be some situations. There are going to be some bad situations that you're going to be going through. But know this. You got some help on your side now. You got some help to help you to make it through your situation. Whatever the case may be, don't put it off this morning. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
I am resolved no longer to linger, shine by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have alert my sight. I will
let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together to learn about you and what this understanding we may be able to apply to our daily lives. We pray, Father, for the people who are sick. Help them get back to their much-wanted health. We also pray, Father, for the people who are traveling. Watch us, guide us, and keep us safe, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.